When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Hey YA, from great new books to favorite classic reads, news stories to the latest in on-screen adaptations. Hey YA is here to elevate the exciting world of young adult lit. Hey YA is a Book Riot podcast hosted by Erica Azzafetti and me, Tirza Price, and we are recording this on July 28th. Hello, Erica.
Hey, Tirza, how are you?
I am well. You know, it's like just the hottest week of the year and I'm moving.
Only that.
So,
yeah. Perfect.
It's good. We're just, you know, we're staying positive.
Oh my God. I'm sending all the positivity and all the AC vibes and cool weather your way. That is the worst thing ever. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
But you'll make it through. I know you will.
We will. Good Lord. We will make it through. We have AC, so that's good. And the place that we're moving to also has AC, so that is also
wonderful.
Good. We're going to survive. It's just, yeah, lots of packing and lots of moving stuff in a very hot truck.
Oh, my God. I will say, and I know my opinion has nothing to do on your living situation, but I will miss the kittens. I will miss the kitten updates.
Oh, I know. That is like the saddest thing about us moving is, yeah all of like the wild porch kitties that we adore. And we've tried really hard to like, you know, get new homes for them and find, and it's just really hard when we live in such a rural area and there's, like, you know, the closest shelter is an hour away and they're telling us don't bring us cats because we have too many. So, but the good news is my neighbors will continue to look after them because they share in, you know, the kitten, you know, responsibilities of feeding and watering and looking after them. So they are not being completely abandoned.
The kitten camaraderie. You love to see it.
Yes. Yep. Basically, the entire text thread between me and my neighbor is just all kitten pictures. It's great.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. I think it was the latest cat/kitten picture you shared was like mama cat and the three or four kittens. And it looks like they're like, it's like an album cover picture. It's fabulous. And I think your partner took it from under the porch or something like that.
Under the
something
fence,
very
yeah.
extra. Yes, it was very extra, all of it. Yeah.
It's a very artsy angle. I know, they're so sweet. And they've taken...
They're so cute.
Yeah, the kittens have taken to hanging out in the tree. So we have a tree in our backyard that they climb. And then it has like kind of a flat area where the two, you know, trunks kind of go up and branch out. And they like to hang out right there. It's so cute.
That's so cute. Well, that's... That's all for kitten talk. Hey YA kitten talk, which is, we like basically always have kitten talk, but it's not always recorded.
Yep.
So this is just like kind of like our precursor to recording is talking about cats.
Yes.
So now we get to, we've recorded it this time. It's the only difference. So that's great.
Yay. So I guess on to news.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, if you are a Heartstopper fan, you are in luck because a season 2 trailer just dropped. It looks cute. Woo! I still haven't seen season 1 though, so I need to get on that.
I haven't seen season 1 either. Have you read the comics?
No, I'm so bad. I know.
I haven't either.
I checked them out one time.
I've been meaning to.
Yeah. I think I probably checked them out from the library like at least 2 or 3 times with like the best of intentions, but just haven't gotten around to them yet. It'll happen. It'll happen. And I know that they're so good and everybody loves them. And there's now going to be a 5th Heartstopper book coming out, I think, next year. So...
Nice.
There's novellas. There's all sorts of stuff. So yay for that.
Yes. Amazing. Amazing. Even though I haven't seen it, I also am still excited because it looks super duper adorable. So that's fun. Another little piece of good news is there is a new app that gives access, free access to banned books depending on your area. The Digital Public Library of America, or DPLA, has launched a new program called the Banned Book Club. Former President Barack Obama shouted them out on Twitter or X or whatever it's called. And basically, if I understand it correctly, you go to, it's thebannedbookclub.info, and you can put in your location and it'll show you like books that are banned in your area. And then you can download the app and you can read those books for free, which is amazing, I think.
Yeah, that is really cool. I'm going to have to click on the link and see what's been banned in my area.
Yes. Ugh. That's another good way to, like an interesting way to use it, even if you already can access banned books, is to see like, okay, what's banned in my area if you want to know. So definitely interesting. Definitely check that out. There's going to be a link in the show notes, of course.
Of course. And let's see. The next exciting bit of announcement type news is, you know, we were just talking about how hot it is. So if you want to escape the dog days of summer with perfect book recommendations, see what I did there. Just a little pet humor. Let Tailored Book Recommendations pick out some awesome books for you. So, you know, you can basically just fill out a survey and then you sit back and relax and book people, like very expert book people, will pick out recommendations, and there are plans for all types of budgets. So whether or not you just want an email with the recommendations, or if you want us to actually send you the books, you can enjoy that. So you can visit mytbr.co to sign up today. It just takes a few minutes to get started. And again, it's mytbr.co. And I think now we will hear from our first sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Avid Reader Press. So this next book is a really fun sounding mashup of different genres. There's a little time travel, a little romance, a little spy thriller action going on. So in the near future, a civil servant is offered the salary of her dreams and is shortly afterward told what project she'll be working on. A recently established government ministry is gathering quote unquote expats from across history to establish whether time travel is feasible for the body, but also for the fabric of space-time. This is an exquisitely original and feverishly fun fusion of genres and ideas. The Ministry of Time by Colleen Bradley asks, what does it mean to defy history when history is living in your house? Colleen Bradley's answer is a blazing, unforgettable testament to what we owe each other in a changing world. It kind of gives Outlander meets Cloud Atlas, or If the Time Traveler's Wife was written by Sally Rooney or Colson Whitehead. Make sure to check out The Ministry of Time by Colleen Bradley. And thanks again to Avid Reader Press for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Diana Dixon has a busy summer and no time for tall, gorgeous hockey player Shane's shenanigans. Because you know what? If they shenan once, they'll shenan again. So she thinks she knows exactly who he is when he moves into her apartment building. But turns out Shane's sick of hookups and tired of being on the rebound after his long-term girlfriend called it quits. But when his ex comes back into the picture, he needs a plan. And who better to play his new girlfriend than his sassy new neighbor? So a fake relationship might be perfect for Diana's own ex issues, but Diana is used to living by the rules. Will she learn that when it comes to love, rules are meant to be broken? Make sure to check out The Dixon Rule by Elle Kennedy. Elle Kennedy is a New York Times and USA Today bestselling author with over a million copies of her books sold. So this is going to be another banger, y'all. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
So today is the return of an episode theme that we did. Oh gosh, what I think it was like last summer that we did this.
Did we? I don't even remember.
We've done it before. I just can't remember when. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
But this is Backlist Bonanza, where we recommend some backlist books. Some of them are, you know, older than a year. Some of them are like deep cuts into the YA, you know, sphere. So we just kind of, you know, we spend so much time talking about new books that we want to take a moment to appreciate some backlist titles as well and shout about, you know, backlist books that we've been reading or backlist books that we love and haven't, you know, gotten a lot of attention as of late. I don't know. How did you go about picking your four, Erica?
I chose, all right, so basically I opened up my Goodreads and I looked at things. I looked at my read books and just looked at YA books that I've read through time. And I try to pick ones that I haven't talked about recently or at all on the show. I realize I haven't, like, since I started recording the show, I've been reading more YA books and I've been loving it. But in years past, I didn't read as many. So I'm like, some of the ones from back in the day, they were a little more sparse. And also, I feel like the ones I read back then were not as diverse. So there's that too.
I feel that.
Yeah. But basically just Goodreads.
Yeah, and I know that, like, sometimes when I go back more than 5 years, I'm like, oh, wow, not as many diverse YA books as, you know, I read now. So it's nice to see that change. Yeah, I basically just sat here and I tried to think of any book that, like, did not come out this year that I loved that I don't think I've talked about on the show yet. And then I came up with a long list and then I decided to narrow it down strategically. So, yeah, that was how I did it, mine. But it's fun either way.
Question, do you use, I know you have a fabulous spreadsheet that you share with us each year. Do you use Goodreads or like StoryGraph or anything at all for any kind of tracking? All right, you're like spreadsheet like master. Yes, I feel you.
Yeah. I like the spreadsheet. It's private. I can, you know, put whatever I want on there. Like, I mean, I use Goodreads to, like, look up books and look up information about books. I don't really use it for the review feature because, I don't know, like, reviews are so, like, they're very much for readers. And what I have found over the years is that, like, the usefulness of reviews really depends on, like, what I need or what I want in any given time. And it's, like, sometimes I'm, like, I care about, like, what, like, people I know think about books. And I care about, like, you know, friends and recommendations and, like, people that, like, I interact with on a daily basis. But, like, I really don't care what, like, random people who I've never met, you know, think about books. Occasionally I will, like, I mean, not, I don't say like I never care, but like, you know, occasionally I will go like look up a book and look at like the Goodreads reviews to kind of get like a sense for like what people are saying about it. But like, if I want to read a book, like I don't read Goodreads reviews. Like I'm like, I already want to read it. Why would I read these Goodreads reviews? Like I'll just form my own opinion. So yeah, I try to stay off of Goodreads as much as possible for my mental health as well. As an author, like I have on the occasion stumbled upon some things on Goodreads that I wish I hadn't seen. So I do technically have an account, like an author account, but yeah, I don't use it a ton for that reason as well.
That makes sense. Definitely an interesting, I didn't think of the author angle, but that makes sense. Yeah, for me, I like reading certain, sometimes like there are spoilers in the reviews, so that can be annoying, but I like compare books with people. Like, so then, like, if we have a similar taste in books, I will use their recommendations to add books to my list. Funnily enough, how I found out about Book Riot was through Rincy Reads.
Oh, Rincy!
Yeah, and her tastes align with mine very well, and so I followed her reviews, and I was like, if she likes it, I'm probably gonna like it. But yeah, that's how. I will say, one last note on Goodreads. I feel like I've seen this discussed in our, you know, Book Riot conversations with each other. Sometimes it's weird what people choose to focus on for reviews. Like, what will make them not like a book? Like, oh, they didn't like a character or something. And it's like, okay, well, but how is that? I don't know. how people judge things is interesting, I guess. Like, if they feel like a character is like a bad person, sometimes they feel like the author is endorsing that character's behavior, that type of thing. And then it's also like, if someone says something problematic or, you know, racist, sexist, whatever, it's like, oh, is the author, you know, condoning that? And it's like, no, it's like, bad people exist in the world. Anyway, so some of the comprehension stuff is interesting, I will say. But yes, enough about Goodreads. Thank you for humoring me. I didn't mean to make it a Goodreads episode. I was just curious.
No, you're good. No, it's just, and this is the, like, I kind of think this kind of gets into the, like, why I don't use Goodreads, which is that like, people use it in their own specific ways.
Right.
And it's just not like how I would want to use it or how I want to like interact about books. So like, I just choose to stay away.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I feel you on that 100%.
Yeah. Well, do you want to kick us off with your first book?
Yes. So my first book is The Golden Day by Ursula Dubosarsky. So this book takes place in Sydney, Australia in 1967 during the Vietnam War and has a sort of like dreamy quality to it because of the prose. I really love the writing and the word choice and how everything flows writing wise. But like this prettiness and this like airiness in the writing, it's like paralleled by ideas around death and capital punishment and war and stuff like that. And this analogy kind of starts early. I mean, it's a short book, but still, the juxtaposition of that airy, dreamy quality and like death and destruction starts early. The first page talks about ghosts before we're introduced to the characters, who are these schoolgirls and their teacher, the eccentric Miss Renshaw, who tells them they're going to go into the garden and think about death because a man was hanged that day. So in the garden, they meet a man who is a gardener and a poet. His name is Morgan. Well, then Morgan and Miss Renshaw and the girls go on this unplanned trip to a cave to see paintings that were done by Aboriginal people. But then something funky happens. Miss Renshaw and Morgan are gone, disappeared into thin air once the girls come back from the cave. And no one is sure what happened to them. And that is like the mystery that is at the heart of the book. No one really knows what happened that day, what each of the girls saw. There's a lot of ambiguity. There's also this really well done sense of like underlying creepiness. And it feels like, I don't know, I feel like this book should be added to like school reading and stuff like that, or at least highly suggested. I just think it's like very beautifully written and just kind of like stays with you.
Yes.
Have you read it?
Yes. It's been a few years, so not anytime lately, but yeah.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And the setting too, like I have not read many books set in Australia. Certainly not one set during the Vietnam War and the 60s and stuff like that. So the setting is very interesting. But yes, definitely recommend. Again, that is The Golden Day by Ursula Dubosarsky.
Awesome. So my first pick is The Do-Over by Lynn Painter. And I read this book, it came out last year, but I read it earlier this year. And oh my gosh, I loved it so much. I blew through it in like a day because that's just, you know, how fantastic and hilarious it is. So it is about a girl. Her name is Emily, and she is, you know, excited for Valentine's Day. And so she's going to tell her boyfriend that she loves him for the first time. She's looking forward to a romantic day, all the fun stuff. And so she wakes up and like immediately her day is like terrible, like just things going wrong. And from like, you know, not getting to the bathroom in time for hot water for her shower to actually getting into a fender bender on the way to school. And then she finds out that she actually didn't get the scholarship that she thought she was going to get in a really awful way. And she also tops it off with discovering her boyfriend making out with his ex. And so, yeah, it's a really bad day. It's not a good day to be Emily. And she's so upset and so frustrated. Instead of going home, she goes and she crashes at her grandma's house because her grandma is cool and gets it. And when she wakes up the next morning, she's strangely back in her own bed. Mm. And it is Valentine's Day yet again. So this is a Groundhog Day type book. She's caught in a time loop and she just keeps having like all the terrible things happen to her. But now she knows that they're going to happen to her, so she can try to do something about it. But then when she tries to do stuff about it, it doesn't always end up the way she expects. So then she decides, well, F it, and she throws all of it out the window. And what ensues is just a hilarious romp as she learns to let loose and let go of like the tight control that she has on everything and everyone in her life. And she might even find her Valentine's Day romance after all. So it's so funny, and the characters are so well done and realistic. And like I said, I tore through this book in, I think it was like a day and a half. I could not put it down. You know that you're reading a really good book when you like go to work and you're like, dang it, I wish I could just like sing my book out and read. Yeah, you know, maybe that you could have gotten away with that in high school, but you know, probably can't when you're, you know, in your 30s and you have maybe a job, not. So
whatever.
Yeah, shoot. But I did, I remember, I don't usually read on my lunch break, but I was like, I'm going to take a lunch break for real this time, and I'm going to read at least 20 pages. So that's how good this book is. So that is The Do-Over by Lynn Painter.
That sounds like so much fun. I am adding that. I feel like you've definitely mentioned that before, and I think I've already added it, but let me just bump it up on the list. Yes. So before we get into my next pick, we're going to hear from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Taming Seven is an epic and unforgettable love story in the international best-selling and TikTok phenomenon, The Boys of Tommen series from Chloe Walsh. So Tommen's cheekiest lad, Jared Gibbsy Gibson, has always been a comedian, but inside he is haunted by events of the past and he uses humor to cope, hiding his true self from the world. Then you have Claire Biggs, who is the epitome of sunshine. She's always loved Gibbsy, her brother's friend and her favorite neighbor. She also has always seen a side to him that no one else seems to notice, and she becomes determined to tame her wild at heart childhood best friend. So the Boys of Tommen series is an internationally best-selling YA romance series that has taken TikTok by storm. It's perfect for readers looking for new adult slash crossover romance, dual point of views, friends to lovers, marathon worthy TikTok books, and angsty tearjerkers. Taming Seven is published today and it's the fifth book in the series, so make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
This episode is sponsored by The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy. Robbie and Trevor Cressmont have enough wealth to ensure they'll never be found guilty of any wrongdoing, even if everyone believes they're behind the deaths of their ex-girlfriends. Let us all take a collective angry sigh at that. Lauren O'Brien, the new girl at school, has a dark past of her own, and she's desperate for a fresh start. Except when she starts a relationship with Robbie, her chance is put in jeopardy. During what's meant to be their last weekend together, Lauren stumbles across evidence that might just implicate Robbie. And after a third death rocks the town, she must decide whether to end things with Robbie or risk becoming another cautionary tale. This is an edge-of-your-seat YA thriller that's perfect for fans of Karen McManus and Holly Jackson. Make sure you pick that up now wherever books are sold. And thank you once again to The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy for sponsoring today's show.
Okay, so my next book is a manga by Tatsuki Fujimoto, who is the same manga artist who wrote Chainsaw Man. And this book, I believe, came out in 2021. I forgot to say when the other book came out, but this is not like a way back backlist, but it's still backlist. So I know I've mentioned Chainsaw Man on here before. It's a popular manga that got adapted into an anime recently. So it's real trippy. If you like some weird stuff, check that out. This one is such a tonal difference from Chainsaw Man, though. This kind of manga is called a one-shot, which means that the entire story is contained within this one volume. If you read manga regularly, you know that many times there can be many volumes to a story. So it's about Fujino, who draws manga for her class paper, and Kyomoto, a girl who is the same age, but who is a shut-in. So, well, Fujino feels pretty good about her art skills and even gets complimented and stuff like that. Like, she's really feeling herself. She's like, oh, you know, I'm that girl when it comes to manga. Like, who can touch me? But one day, this girl, Kyomoto, sends her art in for the paper, and everyone is blown away. Like, Fujino was like, ooh, that looks really good. And so she basically makes Fujino's art look kind of like maybe a little childish, amateurish, I guess. I'm like trying to get that word out. I hope I said that correctly. My words aren't wording right now. But yes, she is just really talented. And this makes Fujino a teensy bit salty, but it also drives her to improve. And she ends up meeting Kyomoto, and the two form an interesting relationship, a platonic relationship. They're friends. And it's interesting because, again, Fujino was like kind of salty, kind of like, who is this girl? But then she finds out Kyomoto was actually admired her. So that's cool. So they're opposites in terms of personality and stuff like that, but they are still both aspiring manga artists. And the two essentially grow up together, and so does their art. So they also end up working on a manga together. But then something happens when they get older. If you read this, you will feel pretty devastated by it. So, yes. I like Fujimoto's art style. I feel like his style is a bit different from what you usually see with manga and anime. And this is one of those stories that is more quiet and subdued, especially considering the kind of manga, like, if you've heard me recommend manga before, especially considering the kind of manga I usually mention. And I think the kind of manga and anime that is typically popular in the US, but it's also one that is very sad. So if you're in a sad kind of mood and you just want to like be in your feelings and be like a little, you know, a little sad, sometimes we have our moments. This is for you. So again, this is Look Back by Tatsuki Fujimoto.
Awesome. That sounds great. My next pick is The Cheerleaders by Kara Thomas. And this is a backlist book that has actually been on my radar for a long time. I had not picked it up until recently, and I started listening to the audiobook. So it is about Monica, and Monica lives in a town in New York that has a dark past, one that involves her directly. So 5 years before the start of the book, her older sister and four of her friends, they were all on the cheerleading squad in their high school, they all died. And they died in like really tragic and awful ways. So two of the girls were in a car driving somewhere late at night. It was raining. They, you know, drove off the road. They were in a horrible accident. They died in the accident. A few weeks later, two of the girls were at a sleepover at one of the girls' houses, and like nobody else was home. And when their parents arrived the next day to pick up one of the girls, they discovered that the two had been murdered by a neighbor. And they don't really know why the neighbor murdered the girls, because as the police were trying to apprehend him, they shot him before they could question him. And he died. And then the final girl was Monica's older sister, Jen. And she took her own life. And Monica, this has never sat well with Monica. Monica understands that, like, you know, what her sister went through was really traumatic, like losing four of her best friends in the space of a few weeks. But she's not convinced that her sister would have necessarily taken her own life. And so she's kind of dealing with that. But like, it's been 5 years since all of this has happened. And now Monica is on the dance team. They disbanded the cheerleading squad because nobody wanted that horrible reminder about what happened to the girls. And it's her junior year of high high school, but Monica is not necessarily in the best of places at the moment. She, at the beginning of the book, just before the book starts, has an abortion. She's kind of dealing with, like, you know, the fallout, both physical and mental and emotional, of that. And she, you know, doesn't have the greatest relationship with her mom. And she is scrounging around one day looking for pain pills in her stepfather's office when she discovers that there's these weird letters that arrive every year on her sister's death anniversary. And she, they seem to, like, you know, indicate that, like, there's more to the deaths and there's more to the story than what Monica knows. And that and a few other things start adding up, and she begins to get suspicious, or she, you know, it reignites her suspicion that her sister wouldn't have just killed herself. So she starts to look into it, and it's kind of dark, and it's, you know, a little bit of a heavier mystery read, but it's very intriguing, especially, like, the idea of, like, five teenagers dying in really tragic ways and, you know, three different methods over the course of a few weeks. Like, what is that all about? So that's The Cheerleaders by Kara Thomas. I'm reading it on audio right now. I'm about three quarters of the way through. It's really interesting. I'm super hooked. I can't wait to see where it goes.
That sounds really interesting. You always have the best, like, thriller / mystery recommendations, which makes sense considering your books. But that, I'm just like, okay, and then what happened? Okay, the letters, oh my god. Mm-hmm. Like, are you serious? That is a mess.
Yeah,
I like messy things, but yeah, that is a hot mess.
It kind of starts, like, as a slow burn, but yeah, it's, yeah. You get really into it at one point, so yeah, it's good.
I need to add that, like, ASAP. Okay, so the next one I have to mention is East by Edith Patou. And so I am taking it, like, way, all the way, way back with this one. I hear you giggle. Are you familiar with this book?
I'm trying to remember when I read this. I know that I have read it, but it's been so long that I don't have, like, a lot of clear memories of it. Like, I have, like, little things that I remember about this book. But I want to tell you that I might have even been in middle school when I read this book. Because, it's an older one.
I feel like I may have as well. But the gag is I remember a lot of it. And, like, when I was looking at, maybe I wasn't in middle school, probably high school. Because it's on my Goodreads and I, like, didn't have Goodreads in middle school. But, like, as I started, like, when I was looking through my Goodreads, as I mentioned at the top of this episode, to find books to mention here, I was like, oh, that one, okay. And as I started, like, refamiliarizing myself with the story, I'm like, oh, I remember kind of, like, a lot of this. Like, I remember how I felt when I was reading it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe because at the time, well, one, because it's really good. But also, I think at the time that I read it, I hadn't read as many fantasy books just because I was young. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those fantasy books that, like, I feel like once I read it, it cemented in my mind and I kind of compared other fantasy books to it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Totally. Or at least ones with, like, a similar structure, like, which is, like, kind of like romantic fantasy adventure-ish. So, and I realized that I really love that subgenre or those tropes or whatever. For fantasy, I don't really need, like, a romance. I don't mind it, but I appreciate also when there isn't a romance, you know, just to switch things up. But when there is, my favorite is, like, you know, when they go on an adventure and they're bonding and they're escaping death and all that, and then they love each other.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. Yeah, I guess I'm a slow burn girl. What kind of like romantic fantasy do you like?
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, you know, I'm a good, you know, enemies to lovers, love a good booklet that goes there.
Yes.
Especially, or not even, like, necessarily enemies, but when you have, like, two fantasy characters that are kind of, like, you know, set against each other or set up to
butting heads.
Yeah, butting heads. Or, you know, a book that, and I mentioned this on the last extra credit episode, one book that I actually just read was the Graceling graphic novel adaptation. Did you ever read Graceling?
I never read Graceling, but it's been on my list forever. And I remember the graphic novel adaptation coming out too.
Yeah, I read the graphic novel and it made me want to go back and read Graceling, the novel, mm-hmm. again. And like, so sort of, you know, that's kind of similar to, I think, the setup, if I'm remembering correctly, of East, where it's like, you know, the love interest is kind of mysterious and you don't yes. know a lot about them. And then you're kind yes. of like learning more and follow. Yeah. I just looked it up and East came out in 2003.
Yes. I'm just like, this is the most way back thing I probably will ever mention. I was like, whoa. Oh my God. Literally 20 years ago.
I know.
You can't say we don't switch it up on Hey YA.
We do.
You can't say that. Yes. We switch it up. Okay. Oh,
you're making me want to go find a copy of this and read it because I've yes. been, I probably read it. I mean, yeah, I probably read it within the first few years it came out because I want to tell you that I was either, if not middle school, then like young high school, like maybe freshman, sophomore. It's been a while.
Same. I read it. I know, like I said, it's on my Goodreads and I didn't really start recording Goodreads stuff until I was like early, mid high school, because then like middle school stuff, I didn't really remember everything that I read. So like if I read it in high school, it's probably on Goodreads. And when I was refamiliarizing myself with the story again, like I said, I'm like, oh, I want to read this again. What? Because again, like I said, I'm like, yes, I remember that. Yes, I remember that. And a lot of books, even like some books I read now, I remember, even if I like them, I won't remember details. But this mm-hmm. one, I remember details like 15 years later. So, but okay. So what happens in the book? Let's say, so we've been gushing about it, but basically it is a sort of like retelling of a Scandinavian folktale. And in it, there is this old belief that personalities and things are determined by whether a baby is a Northborn or Eastborn baby, etc. So kind of like astrology a little bit. So Nyma Rose is a Northborn baby, which are rumored, they are rumored to be these kind of like wild, carefree, adventurous, and very intelligent kids. They are destined to like break their mother's hearts by like adventuring and going away and all those things. So in other words, I guess Rose is a Sagittarius if you follow astrology. LOL. But yes, her mom does not want her to be. She wants to keep her, you know, near to her, you know, safe and all those things. So she tells Rose that she's actually an Eastborn baby. But then fate is like, no, girl, she's a Northborn. Get it right. And so like one day a huge white bear appears, as huge white bears are off to do. And this bear promises the family's fortune will change for the better if Rose goes with him. And I should mention they are a poor family in Norway. So she does. And then she finds out the bear is actually a human prince with an enchantment. So then also there's a messy troll queen, sea captain, other really interesting characters. And yeah, like all the best romantic fantasy adventure things. Listen, it's 500 pages and you will, I feel like you'll breeze through it because I still remember this so many years later. It's basically like Beauty and the Beast, but make it icy plus Scandinavian folktales. So check it out.
Yes.
East by Edith Patu.
Oh, yeah. I love that book. And mm-hmm. as you were talking about it, like more and more details were starting to come back to me. And I was like, yes, I'm definitely going to have to go reread that. Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. When I was reading it, I was like, oh, wait, I need to reread this with all the other books on my TBR. I need to read this 500 page book. Yeah.
But it'll be worth it.
It will be. Absolutely.
All right. So my next pick is The Obsession by Jessie Q. Sutanto. And Jessie Q. Sutanto has like, I don't know, she has a ton of books out now. She's just been on a roll. Very prolific. Yes. Probably her most popular, most famous books are Dial A for Aunties and Vera Wong, the series, which is, they're adult mysteries. Mm-hmm. But this is actually her debut novel, throwing it back to 2021 here. And it is kind of a psychological thriller. So it's told from two perspectives, Logan and Delilah. And Logan is in love with Delilah. Like, he's certain, like, they are meant to be. They are totally, like, you know, like soulmates. The only problem is Delilah doesn't even know who Logan is, and she doesn't know this yet. But Logan's not too concerned because he's got a plan. And his plan involves, you know, basically just stalking her and looking for the right moment to, like, you know, slide in there and be like, hey, and then ask her out. Which, you know, by the way, Logan's a total creep. Like, that's not supposed to.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
It wasn't giving what I wanted it to give. I was like,
Yeah. No, if this is like squicking you out, like, good, it should.
I'm squicked.
Delilah, on the other hand, yeah, like, she's completely oblivious. She has no idea who Logan is. And she's got a lot going on in her life. She, her mom has got this boyfriend who's horribly abusive and awful.
Oh.
And, yeah, he's, like, you know, emotionally and verbally abusive, sometimes physically. And she, like, is so stressed all the time because of him and because of the way he acts. And especially because, you know, Delilah knows that her mom is strong and smart and, you know, can stand on her own. But for whatever reason, like, he's just got this hold on her. And one day, her mom's boyfriend's being especially awful. And they're out in the garage and he's, you know, just really being horrible to Delilah. And she snaps.
Mm.
And she, like, he's working on a car and he's got the car jacked up. And she just, like, kicks the jack out from underneath the car.
Ooh! Ah!
And then she's like, oh
my God.
Shoot. Because.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The car falls on him and he's totally dead. Like, completely, totally squished. But she's lucky in that it looks like an accident. And she just pretends that, you know, she was in the house and came out. And, you know, so she calls the police and they go through this whole thing. But the thing is before she can even say, like, oh, I did this, like, everybody just assumes that it was an accident. And yeah. Then she's not going to speak up. And then, like, in the, you know, the days and the weeks that follow, her mom is, like, coming back to herself and is like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm so, like, it's too bad he died, but, like, I'm happy that we're not out from, you know, we're out from underneath his thumb. And mm-hmm. She's feeling, like, content, like, oh, my gosh, like, this is how our lives are supposed to be. So she's guilty, but she's, like, not that guilty, you know, mm-hmm. Except for, oh, the cute guy who just asked her out. On, like, the second or third date, he lets it slip that he has video recordings of her doing that. Because, remember, he's got her under surveillance.
Oh, my
and
God.
And so, yeah, Delilah goes from, like, yeah, living under the thumb of one abuser to another. And, you know, this time she's not going to let Logan, you know, push her around. And essentially, even though she looks meek, and the first time was an accident, like, she's proven that she will not live under, you know, somebody's abusive control. And so what ensues is this very much, like, tense cat and mouse chase game of, like, who's going to come out on top. And it's a battle of the wills as much as it is, like, you know, some intricate plotting. If you like books like How to Get Away with Murder, like mm-hmm. the TV show, or you like stuff that's, like, about bad people doing bad things and, you know, good people in really bad situations, The Obsession by Jesse Q. Satanto, really excellent. It kept me guessing right until the end.
That is spicy. See, again, my comment holds. You get those thrillers that you recommend. I'm just like, what? She kicked it. Oh, my God. That sounds really good. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so the last book I have to mention today is Surviving the City by Tasha Spillett, illustrated by Natasha Donovan and Donovan Yasyuk. This is another comic. It follows teen girls living in Canada. So Mikwan and Dez are super close and both part of First Nations. Mikwan is Anishinaabe, while Dez is Innu. They're such good friends that they completed the traditional berry fast together and did a project on it. Okay, but one day, Dez learns that her grandmother, or Kokum, may have to have her foot removed because of diabetes, which would mean Dez going to a group home because she lives with her grandmother. Because of this, she runs away to a park. When she sees the social worker visiting her grandmother and talking about the situation and everything like that, she's like, all right, this lady is here talking to my grandmother. I'm not about to go, you know, get separated from her and stuff like that. So she goes to a park and she's just, like, you know, pressed, stressed. And then her cell phone dies. And so she spends the night in the park. Meanwhile, like while she's gone and like scared to come back, she's like, what if the social worker is there? You know, her cell phone's dead, so she can't ask anyone if the lady is still there. You know, in her mind, she's like, you know, my granny is, you know, can't take care of me, so they're going to take me away. So she's like staying away from home. So her grandmother and Miquan, her friend, are super worried about where she is and stuff like that. So this is a pretty short comic. Language-wise, I think it's geared toward the younger end of YA, and it does a really good job of sharing aspects of Indigenous culture as well as the history of residential schools and missing Indigenous women in North America, especially Canada. I liked how it showed, like I said, how it incorporated, like, there were, like, these, like, spirits, and some were benevolent, and some were not. And I like how it intertwined the Indigenous culture with the reality of so many missing Indigenous women in North America. And again, like I said, it's only 56 pages, and I feel like it did that really well. The color palette is really nice. It's very rich tones. So yeah, again, that's Surviving the City by Tasha Spillett, illustrated by Natasha Donovan and Donovan Yasyuk.
Awesome. That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
My final pick is, okay, have you ever seen Gilmore Girls?
A long time ago.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a while since I watched Gilmore Girls, but I mean, it was on air when I was in middle school and high school, so obviously big affection for that show. Mm-hmm. This book is basically like if you ever shipped Rory and Paris together, then this is the book for you. So it is about Sana and Rachel, and they live in Los Angeles, and they do not really like each other. So Sana asked Rachel out their freshman year, but Rachel was like, why is this beautiful cheerleader asking me out? Like, I'm deeply suspicious of this situation. And she was basically like, you're only asking me out because you want to try to humiliate me in some way. Like, I've seen Carrie, like, go away. And so since then, they've always hated each other. And Sana makes a point to, you know, steer clear of Rachel. Rachel wants to go into film school. And as they are about ready to graduate, Rachel's like one credit short of a credit that she needs to graduate. And the only way that she can get this credit is if she agrees to, you know, like work with Sana on their last project. And so now they are thrust together and they have to work things out. And it's, you know, not going super well until she learns that like maybe there's more to Sana than she thought. And Sana realizes that Rachel doesn't really hate her. Rachel's, you know, very sensitive and a little insecure. And as they get to know each other, they start to fall for one another. So Sana has like very much like a Rory Gilmore sort of like life setup where like she's being raised by a single mom and her single mom is like really cool and laid back. But then she's got like these wealthy grandparents who, you know, try to be a little bit more controlling in their lives. And there's, you know, if you're a big fan of like Gilmore Girls, especially like seasons one and two, like there are some, you know, aspects and elements of the plots from those first two seasons that get reimagined in this book in a really fun way. So I feel like, you know, it's a great book if you don't like Gilmore Girls or you don't know Gilmore Girls, because it definitely stands on its own. But I read this book and I was like, this reads like Gilmore Girls fan fiction in the best way possible. And that one came out a few years ago and I really, really enjoyed it. So that is Tell Me How You Really Feel by Amina May Safi.
Nice. Sounds really good.
It's fun. Yeah, especially if you just want like a queer, fun romance.
Yeah. Sounds cute.
Yeah. So up next, you and I are both going to be reading A Song of Salvation by Alicia Dow.
Yes, I'm very excited. Although I will say the time has flown. I thought it was going to be a couple more episodes from now, but I'm still excited. What is time?
It's going to be good. Yeah, yeah, I'm excited. Definitely. I downloaded the audiobook because, like, all of my life is getting packed up in boxes right now. And I was like, I can't keep track of a physical book. But I downloaded the audiobook, so I'm going to start listening to that here really soon. And we are going to be talking all about it on our next episode. So if you want to, you know, pick up a copy as well and read along with us so you can follow along, that would be awesome.
Yes, that's going to be so much fun. Our book club episodes are always a lot of fun, I feel. So,
I have fun.
Looking forward to it.
Me too. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in this week. You can always leave us feedback about the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It lets us know how we're doing, but it also helps others to find us. And if you want to email us directly, you can do so at heyya@bookriot.com. Don't forget to visit bookriot.com for newsletters, more podcasts, all things bookish, and visit mytbr.co for tailored book recommendations. Thank you again to today's sponsors for making the show possible, and thank you so much to our amazing audio editor, Jen Zink, for making us sound great. You can follow me on Instagram and I guess Twitter/X/whatever the heck that thing is. Yeah. I'm still on there mostly because I'm too busy to delete my account. But yeah,
I'm at
Tears of Price. Yes. Yeah. And I'm on Threads now too. If you're on Threads, I'm not sure what we're doing with social media these days, but you can always find me on Instagram at least.
You are accessible, and that's all that matters. You are on the grams, the threads, the X, whatever. I am also on Twitter/X at @Erica_EZE_.
Awesome. Well, yes, we'd love to connect with you wherever you might be able to find us.
Yes, please.
All right. Well, then we will talk to you again in 2 weeks. Until then, happy reading.
Happy reading.